This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And today, an opportunity to talk to national talk show host Jim Bohannon, who joins us from the Washington, D.C. area. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle.
Well, thanks for being on. You heard weeknights 7 to 10 right here and have been for a number of years. It's been a busy week in the news. What's been getting your attention?
Oh, wow. Has it ever been a busy week in the news? Unbelievable. Well, of course, obviously the increased atrocities in the Ukraine. Ketanji Brown Jackson gets confirmed to be on the Supreme Court later this year. Tiger Woods looking respectable at Augusta. And baseball is back, so that kind of makes me happy.
Well, let's talk about the Ukraine situation first of all. Do you think that most folks thought it would still be going on by now?
No, least of all Vladimir Putin. Oh, that quick victory he had counted on. Putin has obviously surrounded himself with yes men, and he's asked, you know, how's the military? Oh, it's wonderful, sir. It's great. And then nobody stood up and said, well, you know, honestly, Mr. President, if you're planning on invading Ukraine, I got to tell you, our troops are not that well trained. Our logistics are not that good. We need to put this off for a year or two. But, of course, nobody's going to do that. So if Putin wonders why he was lied to, he should go look in a mirror.
I was wondering about the aspect of not only the fact that he seems very distant from a lot of his advisors, nobody seems to know who any of them are.
Yeah, that's also true. He reportedly has a body double. He's very afraid of an assassination. I got to tell you, first of all, the Russian people don't matter. I mean, it's not like he's going to lose the St. Petersburg primary or anything. But the fellow energy oligarchs, the fellow billionaires, a lot of them, I'm thinking, are saying right now, you know, we were doing pretty well here for a couple of decades under Vlad, but I just had my quarter of a billion-dollar yacht seized in Western Europe. I got to tell you, I think it's time for Vlad to go. And I don't think I'm talking about a Kalashnikov impeachment here, but Vlad needs to go to his dacha and count his billions, even if each ruble is worth less than a penny. I think that there's a growing feeling that Vlad needs to step down, and I think that's how this is going to end for him. I don't think he would have been anywhere near where he is today had he realized. He would not have made the trip into Ukraine. He thought it would be a quick and easy victory, and everything would be just wonderful. But he wants out, I'm sure, but he has to save face. He cannot bear the thought of losing face, and I don't know, unless you just simply take the two easternmost provinces and say, okay, that's all we really wanted, and otherwise, Ukraine, you're free to go.
I wonder about the reports that a lot of the Russian troops really didn't know what they were getting into, and in fact, many thought they were on a training exercise.
Oh, yeah, and you have apparently reports that some of their officers were murdered by their own troops. Some of the troops sabotaged their own vehicles. There was, of course, the messages sent back to Moscow of Russian troops virtually crying for mommy. I'm sure that for a macho idiot like Vladimir Putin, that must be extremely embarrassing. And NATO, of course, has been taking copious notes. Oh, good heavens, this is the vaunted Russian military. I mean, they've got an awful lot of new notes now to go through.
So as other nations are looking at this, what kind of response should come from the world community?
I think that the right response is coming through. I mean, I know a lot of people have said, well, we've put on sanctions, and they haven't stopped the Russians. The sanctions were never going to stop the Russians. If Putin was that determined to go in, he could go in. The sanctions, if they're properly enforced, and now that they're finally tough enough, which, by the way, was too little too late on the part of our president, they were going to hopefully down the road persuade the Russians to leave. But they were going to stop them from going in. And you're talking here a very unusual country. There's never been a country like modern Russia. It is a third world nation. It exists on a raw commodity like a banana republic, only it's energy. But, of course, it also has nuclear missiles, and that makes it a very unusual critter. So nobody wanted to start a World War III out of all of this. And so nobody was prepared to, for example, put in a no-fly zone with U.S. pilots maybe shooting down Russian pilots. But Certainly nobody thought it was going to go this long. And the bottom line is that Putin, I think, wants a way out. If he can find a way out, I think he'd take it. But it has to look like a victory to him.
Let's switch gears here. One of the things we're noticing here out west, and I'm curious about back east, is all these things that we've gone without in a lot of cases for a couple of years or done differently. The events, the concerts, all of that seem to be restarting again.
Yeah, and we have, of course, another round of COVID sweeping Washington. Nancy Pelosi's got it, and Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, has got it. And it's the communications director for somebody, Kamala Harris, I forget who, but a number of people inside the Beltway. So it's really weird at a time when everybody is saying, hey, I think it's over, and others are saying, well, no, it's not. So it's a very confusing time. I think eventually you're going to wind up, it's going to be like the flu. Every year the flu is around, and you may get a new flu shot, and people die from the flu, but nobody runs down the street screaming the sky is falling. I think we're going to just accept that every year you get a flu shot, every year you get a COVID shot. People talk about the flu like it's always been here. No, the flu came out of the last pandemic a century ago. And before that, there was no such annual thing.
And one of the aspects of things right now, in fact, by the way, our own congressman from our district here in Southern Oregon, Peter DeFazio, one of the latest to test positive, that came out late yesterday. But talking with folks in the entertainment community, all the sacrifices, loss of income they've made in the last couple of years, and now you have the in-person fairs, and the most common term is returning to in-person this year.
Yeah, well, I would certainly like to see it. Goodness knows, I'm zoomed out, I got to tell you, Kyle. I mean, I've done a lot of things on Zoom. The other day, I emceed an event in sweatpants from the waist down. From the waist up, I had on a tuxedo. And I'm looking forward. I am emceeing an event for the Missouri Broadcasters Association in June. And it'll be in person. I'm looking forward to that. I'm accepting an award. I'm being inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame in Las Vegas at the end of this month in person. And I'm looking forward to those things.
Now, it's interesting, though, because you actually have been working from home for decades, right?
Well, yeah, actually, for quite a while. Not decades, but I've been working from home now for about 6 or 7 years, I guess, yeah.
So what brought that movement for you?
Well, it just was basically I got tired of the commute. A 30-foot commute sounds better than a 30-mile commute. And the technology existed. And it made a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of people are doing it. And, of course, it's technically feasible now with things called Comrex and things of that nature, which is essentially a connection line on the internet. So it's very comfortable, and it works well for me. And I've commuted thousands of miles in my life, and I just got kind of tired of commuting.
Do you feel, though, when you're doing when you're at home but not doing your program, that your job is 20 feet away?
Oh, it is, but it's not like it's leaning over me. I know certain things that I need to do, but I mean, I would need to do those anyway. I need to check certain websites, need to prep certain things, but I need to do that anyway. I'm not one of these people who has to be physically removed from my job that it hangs over my head. I can relax. I can be sitting 10 feet from the studio and totally veg out. I'm just fortunate that way.
That's one of the things coming out of the pandemic, as more and more people are returning to the workplace, is just been dealing with that change. Some folks got very used to working from home, didn't like it. Others loved it and, in fact, are working remotely and plan to stay in places like Maui and other places permanently. It's just kind of another one of those interesting aspects to researchers will probably have fun with as we continue on out of this phase of the pandemic.
Yeah, of course, if you're a dentist or fix transmissions, it's kind of hard to work remotely. But, yeah, think back. Remember back in the beginning when this pandemic hit and all the companies were saying, okay, everybody out of the office. If you go, you work from home. If you're not working from home, then you're not working for us. And people were saying, no. Then they got used to it. Hey, the morning meeting, and I'm wearing a robe and flip-flops. And now some of the same people who were so anxious about not leaving the office are now the ones that are saying, you want me to come back to work? I don't think so. Or maybe, tell you what, I'll come to work Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The other 3 days of the week, I'm going to work from home. It's remarkable, the turnaround. A lot of people have tried this remote working and have said, this is pretty good.
Well, and also, they don't normally in an office setting allow you to drink wine at 9 a.m.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, what is on the horizon, do you think, for the nation coming up? And I think we just lost our connection. Let's see if we've got Jim back. All right, do we have you back?
I'm back on. I'm right here. Do you hear me?
There we go. All right, we've got you now. So for the nation, as we move forward through the spring, what are some of the things you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting out. As I say, I'm looking forward to going to Las Vegas and receiving my award. I'm looking forward to going to Branson, Missouri. Or actually the Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, and emceeing this event for the Missouri broadcasters. I'm looking forward to going to my affiliate WGN in Chicago and meeting some clients of theirs. So I'm looking forward to, even though these are work-related items, I'm looking forward to getting out. We have a favorite place we like to go to, Jekyll Island, Georgia, and we're doing that coming up in May. So, just getting out a bit. I don't really get cabin fever too much, but it'll be a nice change of pace to get out and actually see things and do things. And again, as I said, if I never Zoom again, that would be fine with me.
All right, Jim Bohannon, nationwide. You hear him 7 to 10 p.m. every weeknight right here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Jim, thanks for being on with us this morning.
Always a pleasure, Kyle. Thank you very much.
8:43, morning conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.